The federal government's decision not to accept refugees from Indonesia has outraged human rights advocates. Any asylum seeker registered with the UNHCR in Indonesia after the 1st of July under the new rules announced yesterday will not be allowed to settle in Australia. And the number of places available to refugees who registered in Indonesia before that date will also be reduced.
We're taking the sugar off the table. That's what we're doing. We're trying to stop people thinking that it's okay to come into Indonesia and use that as a waiting ground to get to Australia. I mean, Indonesia is not a refugee-generating country. It's a transit country and it's used by smugglers. And that's because people think they can transit and sit in Indonesia and use that as a place to gain access to Australia. Now, this is designed to stop people flowing into Indonesia and to support Indonesia and for them not to become a destination country where people will wait just to get a visa to Australia. So it's taking the sugar off the table.
That's the Immigration Minister Scott Morrison explaining this move on AM earlier. Sarah Hanson-Young is the Greens immigration spokesperson. The Senator is in Phnom Penh on a fact-finding mission into the government's plan to resettle refugees from Nauru to Cambodia. And she's speaking with our political editor, Alison Carabine.
Sarah Hanson-Young, good morning.
Good morning, Alison.
Senator, we'll get to the Cambodia resettlement deal in a moment, but first if we could go to Indonesia. Australia won't be accepting any person deemed to be a refugee by the UNHCR in Jakarta. As you just heard, Scott Morrison says he's taking the sugar off the table. How does this fit with the need to find a regional solution to the issue of asylum seekers?
This flies in the face of any genuine attempt to work with our regional neighbours to find a genuine solution, a genuine approach to asylum seekers and refugees. It is the exact opposite to what Australia should be doing. On one hand, we're saying we've got a government who turns our back on unauthorised arrivals. We are putting people's lives at risk out on the high seas. And then on the other hand, we're saying any formal pathway has now become even harder for refugees.
But it is a
formal...
It's
going to put people's lives at further risk. People are going to have to take even more drastic steps in order
such
to
as
find
protection. What are those drastic steps do you think that they may need to take?
Well, I'm very concerned that we will now see more people taking dangerous boat journeys and perhaps, in fact, to places like New Zealand, which is an even longer and more dangerous journey.
But if people are compelled to once again take to the boats, won't they know what the government's response will be? They'll be turned around and sent back.
This is pure arrogance from the Australian government. This is not about protecting refugees. This is not about taking a humanitarian approach. This is Australia saying, we don't give a damn about these people. We don't give a damn about them on the high seas. We don't give a damn about their rights in terms of helping them find a refugee place. By slashing the numbers of people we take through the United Nations out of Indonesia means we've just created a 20-year wait for anyone and their children who wants a safe way to get to Australia.
But Sarah Hanson-Young, Australia's overall refugee intake won't be reduced. It will stay at 13,750 a year. The government wants to focus on countries of first asylum, not transit countries like Indonesia. Won't that give people fleeing the Syria conflict, for example, the millions who have crossed over the border into Jordan, Turkey, Lebanon, won't this give those refugees, those asylum seekers, a better chance of settlement in Australia?
Australia is now taking less refugees than we've taken for a long time. We're taking less people from our region. We've cut the number of people we take overall at a time when there's more refugees than ever, not just in our region, but around the world. And it shows little regard for the struggle that even our regional neighbours have in dealing with the numbers of people that cross their borders every day.
Well, Sarah Hanson-Young, if we could move to Cambodia, you're in Phnom Penh looking at the deal to resettle asylum seekers who are currently on Nauru. From what you've seen so far, does Cambodia have the capacity to take in these refugees?
Cambodia is in no way equipped to deal with the needs of another group of vulnerable people that Australia wants to dump here. There seems to be huge concern here on the ground from human rights experts, from NGOs who deal with the needs of Cambodian locals every day, that the refugees that Australia will send here will simply go into the mix of the large numbers of disadvantaged Cambodians that live here every day. I've been talking to organisations on the ground who are just perplexed at Australia's decision to send people here when the health system, the education system, the housing system here in Phnom Penh in particular, but around the rest of the country, is struggling to meet the needs of local people. Last night I visited a community here in Phnom Penh of local Cambodians who struggle to find proper housing. And these are people who are employed. The fathers are police officers, are school teachers, are construction workers. And they can't even find appropriate housing. Children living on rubbish dumps.
But there's no suggestion that asylum seekers who choose to move to Cambodia from Nauru would be living in a dump or a slum.
Well,
what's the relevance of visiting a slum?
The relevance, Ali, is that there is no safety net in Cambodia for local Cambodians, and there is no way that the NGOs, that the government, will be able to have a safety net for non-national Cambodians in this country when they can't even look after their own people.
Senator Scott Morrison says your timing is way off. The on-the-ground arrangements are not yet in place. They are still being worked on. Now, according to the memo of understanding, a deal could be struck that would give refugees accommodation, food, clothes, language and vocational training, also access to health services. So the details of this deal still have to be nailed down.
Well, it's very clear from talking to the experts on the ground here who offer those services to the local Cambodians because they're not available through the government. As I said, there's no welfare system here. There is no safety net. Those organisations and the experts on the ground have not been consulted at all by the Australian government. The Australian government, before I left Australia during Senate estimates, said that the first group of people would be sent here by the end of the year. That's only 4 weeks away. Nobody has been consulted in terms of the experts on the ground. I had a meeting with the opposition party here in Cambodia yesterday. Now, they are outraged and feel very miffed that despite regular requests for information from the Australian government, from the Australian embassy, they've had as little as, they haven't even had a reply to their letters from the Australian government. There seems to be as much secrecy about this deal here in Cambodia as there is in Australia.
Sarah Hanson-Young, it's very early in Phnom Penh. Thanks so much for getting up early to speak with Breakfast.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Indeed, it is very early. It's 4:15 in Cambodia. Greens immigration spokesperson Senator Sarah Hanson-Young speaking with our political editor, Alison Carabine.